today on Anchored in the Word.
It's just the truth. And the truth is what sets you free. There is a lake of fire that's burning, that's going to burn for all eternity. And there will be people in that, unfortunately. That should move you. That should move you in the time that you have left to care about your neighbor, to care about your family, and beyond that, the people that God puts in your place. I mean, it's great that we're part of the army of God, man. We got a great future. We're on the winning side. This thing's already been determined. We've got the written word right here to tell us this is the way it's going to pan out.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Sometimes we are confronted with hard truths in the Bible. One of these is that there is a lake of fire where unbelievers will burn for eternity. Today, Pastor Bill speaks about this punishment, yet we are also encouraged that this hard truth can motivate us. May we be sharing the life-saving news of Jesus with everyone we know. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's study.
And it says, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, the saints are Christians, okay? That's who the saints are in the Bible. And so the linen that we're wearing is the righteous acts, the right living, the right behavior, and just not just knowing what's right, but doing what's right. Now, the beautiful thing about the church and being a Christian is that not only does God give you rules and regulations, he gives us the word, right? We know what right and wrong is. But he empowers us by his Holy Spirit. He gives us the grace and the power to do what he calls us to do. There's no other religion like that. This is real. This is God's power working in a human being's life. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to the Christian that he could live the life that God's called him to live. Have you tapped into that Holy Spirit power yet? That would be amen. There you go. I mean, I know we're not that acquainted with that here, but that would have been a time for one, all right? If you haven't, then don't say amen. But if you have a changed life as a Christian, I want you to know something. You're not doing that in your own strength, really. I mean, you're making decisions. It's not like you're a puppet now. But God's given you the grace, the power to do what's right. He's given you the understanding, even the desire to want that, and then the power to live that life. That separates Christianity from every other, quote, religion in the world. It's God's power working in a person. You're clothed in fine linen. So this army, I mean, it's the righteous works of, you could say, of God, because God's behind it all. They're clothed in that, and it says white linen, and clean, you know, followed him on white horses. This is an important part of being a Christian. I mean, we need to examine our lives honestly before God, before the scriptures, because if you're a Christian, if you've been a Christian for any point in time, and even when you first become one, what changes in a person's life? It's not just a prayer. The prayer is just something that you confess with your mouth, but the believing in the heart is demonstrated by the change of the person. In other words, you want to do things right. You realize that you've been doing things wrong, and you have this desire to do things God's way. In other words, we're talking about following Jesus, because the armies from heaven are going to be following the Lord. That's indicative of what they did when they were on the earth. Now, everybody in heaven has got it right. They're all following Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that that's what separates Christianity apart from other things, is that the desire to follow Christ, to want to follow him, to want to fall in line with his life. It's no longer my will be done, but his will be done now. And it says that they followed him on white horses. And I like that. I haven't ridden a horse in years. I mean, I was a kid when I rode a horse, and I liked it. Western style. I remember I got to this thing where I'd go and rent a horse and ride when I lived back in Maryland. And I just loved that. And I was, you know, I used to watch the Roy Rogers and all the Westerns. And I learned how to ride by watching TV, by watching how they did the horse. And when I got up there, I thought I knew how to ride. The horse responded to me, but I thought I knew how to ride. And so I loved it. But I haven't ridden a horse in years. Probably over 40 years now. But it's not that I never will. I'm going to ride a horse again. And I'm going to ride a... I don't know that I ever had a white horse. I never got to rent a white horse. But I'm going to ride a white horse. Because Jesus' team, not only is, you know, the team color, there is, we're all riding white horses, and we're going to be on white horses. Every one of us are going to be on white horses. It says in Zechariah, 10,000 of his saints will be behind him. I mean, there's more than 10,000. It's just millions. Not just the raptured church, those that died before, that weren't died in faith, all these people are going to be riding on white horses behind Christ. Question is your horse reserved for you, right? Which team are you on this morning? Which team do you belong to this morning? It's important that we understand that we be on the right team, that we're on the winning team. And so these followed him on white horses. Now, I want you to see something about the being in the army of the Lord. You're not going to have to do anything. You're not going to have to fire a shot. Because look what it says. Verse 15, now out of his mouth, Jesus' mouth, goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Now, that's talking about what we're going to read next in chapter 20 about the millennial kingdom. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, what we're going to see is that though you're in the army of the Lord, it seems like the most you're going to be doing is wearing your robes of righteousness and riding a horse. Jesus, with the sword in his mouth, is going to come down and have probably the biggest army, the biggest force amassed ever at all times. There's going to be a battle, and they're going to want to wage war with God, and he's going to finish the thing with just, we're going to be basically spectators. That's it. We're going to see it. And the glory of it. And we're probably going to be, of course, amazed by the things that Jesus is going to do at that time. But he's going to take, guys, just ride behind me. I'm going to take care of this. And he's going to go down and he's going to take care of it. Probably just a word. It says the sword of his mouth. And think about that. The truth. Think about, we had an example of this, a little example of this when Jesus walked the planet. Remember the time when they were coming to the guards. It says the Roman guards were coming to get him. And they asked him a question about who he was, and he says, just obey. Are you? So I am. And when he said I am, boom, they all fell backwards. Just the power, by him saying I am, these guards just fell over backwards. The power of God, just by his words, a little insight to how he's going to mow down, I believe, that whole army just by his words. And so we're going to get to see that. And here's what I want to say to you is that God's word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is powerful. And in our battle, we've come to know that it's a powerful tool to us, not just to encourage us, but in the battle that we're in. God's word, we need to rely upon God's word. We're going to see the best illustration of that when we're riding on those white horses and we see Jesus just wield his word and just put that whole army to shame. Now he is, as it says in verse 16, he had a name written on his thigh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A title only for him. And there are a lot of kings that have come and gone, and there will be kings in that battle there, but it says that he is the King above all kings, and he is the Lord above all lords. That's just who he is. The question becomes then, as we talked about last week, what is he to you? I mean, is he that to you? Are you recognizing him as that in your own life today? Because that's what Christians do. They acknowledge Christ for who he really is. And we know that he's number one. And verse 17 says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun. Probably the sun coming behind him. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven. Now, when he says this, he's talking about on the earth, the birds that are flying in this, they call this one of the heavens, right? The first heavens is where the birds fly. He says, the angel's not going to talk to the birds. He's informing the birds about what's going to happen. By the way, listen up, because we're being informed at the same time. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. He's speaking to this army that's been amassed there. There's going to be a lot of death. A lot of bodies are going to die. Now, spirits continue to go on. Souls go on. But there's going to be a lot of dead bodies as a result of this battle. These people are going to die. And they're amassing the birds of prey, I mean, you know, to take care of this. And someone say, oh, that's gruesome. That's terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. Believe me. And this is not the worst of it. The birds eating their flesh. I mean, they're not that person anymore. They're dead. That's a good part of their existence there is going on. The bad part is what's to come, where the spirit goes. Let's read on. And I saw the beast, you know, the Antichrist. He's there, by the way, in that amongst those troops, probably leading them. I saw the beast, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth, all the important people at that time on the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. This is, you say on one hand, it's unbelievable. You're telling me that these people have the arrogance that they're going to fight against God? They're going to try and, yeah, that's what it says. They know who they're fighting against. It's not just Israel. Oh, they're going to be in Israel. I'm sure they're coming against Israel. But it says that they're coming against, they understand that they're coming against the one who sits on the horse. They're coming against Jesus. Crazy battle. To find yourself on the other side of the God battle. Listen, there are people on it right now. There are people that are trying to get rid of God. Let's get rid of him out of the world. Let's put the Ten, we've got to take the Ten Commandments out. They can't be anywhere. Let's get rid of them. That's the battle against God. There can't be any prayers in school. Every time I read the news now, it's another thing of, well, there's a prayer, you know, they can't pray before this game, or they can't pray over here. You know, here's this crazy thing about this. The Senate still opens with a prayer.
Amen.
I mean, what? That's not even logical, is it? I mean, it's illogical. But the point is that they're trying to get rid of God. They're trying to get rid of God. It can't be done. But it says, nevertheless, this army was gathered. And they were coming against Jesus and against his army. And by the way, I want you to know this about Jesus. He's very loyal to his army. He's a loyal general. Sorry, Jesus, that's the highest rank I can think of in the army. But the general, he's very loyal to his troops. He's very faithful to his troops. He protects his troops. He's going to take care of his troops. Listen, in these last days, we're going to see a lot of strange things come down the pike, all right? There's going to be a lot of opportunity for us to get afraid, to get worried, all these other things that the world is going to be buying into, by the way, because that's what the enemy uses to try and shape people and get them to do his will. He moves them by fear, okay? So, but for us, know this, we have to keep in the forefront of our minds that Jesus is our commander, and he's going to take care of us. We just need to keep looking to him in these last days. So they're making war against him and against his army. So, by the way, you're his army, and you are in a battle, whether you realize it or not, okay? And it's going to get tougher and tougher. Your light's shining too bright. It's not good. It comes against the deception that they're buying into. And so know that you are going to be an enemy to the world system that we talked about in chapter 17 and 18. You're an enemy because you're part of the Lord's army. Don't think that the church is going to win a popularity contest. But the good news is about this battle, look what happens in verse 20. Then the beast, that's the Antichrist, was captured. And with him, the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence. He was the guy that was the unholy, the third person of the unholy Trinity, right? He was, there's Satan, the dragon, and there's the false prophet, would be like the Holy Spirit in the unholy alliance. And then the beast, right, would be like the Father. But so the unholy spirit, the false prophet, would do signs and wonders to magnify the beast, to get people to follow the beast. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He magnifies Jesus. You understand that? That's what he's there for. He doesn't magnify himself, but he magnifies Jesus to show people that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he shows people, if you're a Christian here today, you came to Christ as a result of the Word of God. Maybe some people of God, but the Holy Spirit of God was showing you, illuminating to you, your need for Jesus. While the false prophet was deceiving people into following the beast, those two were captured. And I want you to note what happens to them. Well, let's finish verse 20. He says, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast. There's a deception that happened, right? The people that gave into that mark, and they worshiped his image. There was an image that was set up that the people of the world worship. These two, the beast and the false prophet, these two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That is a horrible end. I can't even imagine that you're thrown alive into that. Now listen, some people teach this doctrine of annihilation. And that means this, is that in hell, or this burning lake of fire, people will burn for a time and then they'll just kind of die. It ceases to exist. There's no more consciousness and you just don't exist anymore and you don't know anything about not existing anymore. That's called the doctrine of annihilation. That's what it means. You're annihilated. But we don't teach that. We believe that this experience that the beast and the Antichrist are going to happen continues on and on and on. See, that's the horrible thing, the horrific thing about that. It never ends. It's a never-ending experience. And by the way, God sent Jesus so that nobody would have to go there. And so they were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, I want you to know that that's the end of all the people who didn't follow Jesus. We're going to get to this as we go through chapter 20, and we see the final white throne judgment. But even God puts that off. These two are thrown in there right now. But let's read down to the next verse, 21. It says, and the rest of the army, were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And I believe it was just a word. Okay? The sword in the figurative sense, you know, the sword of God being the Bible, the word. And him who sat on the horse. And it says, all the birds were filled with their flesh. They all died. See, that's a horrible thing to think about, that to have a bird pecking at your flesh after you die. But listen, you're not that person anymore. You've left that flesh. Anybody that's died is no longer in that flesh. They've gone on. The question is, where did they go? Where did they go? Well, the Bible talks about two places you could go, to be with the Lord or to be not with the Lord, to be in hell. That's reality. That's what the scriptures teach. Some people are very uncomfortable about that. It's just the truth. And the truth is what sets you free. There is a lake of fire that's burning, that's going to burn for all eternity, and there will be people in that, unfortunately. That should move you. That should move you in the time that you have left to care about your neighbor, to care about your family, and beyond that, the people that God puts in your place. I mean, it's great that we're part of the army of God, man. We got a great future. We're on the winning side. This thing's already been determined. We've got the written word right here to tell us this is the way it's going to pan out. But the unfortunate thing about that is there's a losing side, as there always is, right? When there's a winner, there's a loser. And these losers are set up for the worst loss that could ever be suffered by anyone. And so it's important. It should be important to us as the army of God, as we walk in righteousness, to get as many people on our team as we can. We want to enlist people into the army. We're recruiters, you could say, I guess, with the gospel, telling other people about our general, about Jesus. And about being on, you wanting to be on the winning side, we're just not boasting about we're the winners, we're number one. You know, it's not about that. But we are trying to tell others about the goodness of God through Jesus and that there is an end coming. We don't have to be afraid of that. It's the truth. It's the truth. What people do with that knowledge of the truth is up to them. But we are responsible for the light that we possess. In other words, we have truth. It's not just to be kept to ourselves. Is it uncomfortable sometimes giving the truth? You may think it is. Yesterday we're out in Red Bank. Well, guess what? When they were finished singing, I get up there and I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, the account, and I'm just telling them this is the real meaning of Christmas. And I got to tell you, there's a part of me, even as a pastor, I'm thinking, oh, what's this going to be like? Who's going to stop by? As I'm sitting there just reading from the Bible, man. I'm waiting for somebody to come out of that pub and say, hey, you can't do that. You can sing all you want, but don't, you know, be talking about Jesus out here. I mean, the thought entered my mind. It really did. It always does. But we got to push past those thoughts. Those are from the pit of hell anyway. Those are the enemy. You just speak the truth in love and watch what God does with it. And so it's important for us to understand these things are true. And there is a winning team and there's a losing team. And this is the most important battle ever. And God sent his son that so this the winning team, he wants everybody to be on that team. Amen. You get to pick your own team. This is the thing about being a human being, that you get to pick what team you want to be on. And so the question is, as we end this, which team are you on? Do you know which team you're on? Did you know there was a battle? And which team are you on? The winning team is on Jesus' team. And I'm talking about Christianity. I'm talking about being born again. We have to narrow this thing down, man. Jesus said it in John chapter 3. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's from the Bible. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus, how can you become born again? How do you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? Well, let me tell you, Nicodemus, you got to be born of the Spirit he's talking about. How do you become born of the Spirit? You confess that you're a sinner and you receive Christ into your life and you become born again through faith, believing in him. Nothing you can do. Believe that God, that he went to the cross, he died for your sins, and then he rose from the dead. Through faith only does one become born again. And he explained that. And the question is, are you born again? Are you born again? In other words, if you died today, do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would be in the presence of Almighty God? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the Christian. To be absent from the body. The birds eat it. I don't care. I don't care what happens to this thing. But I do care to be present with the Lord. That's important. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the most important thing, that your eternity is taken care of.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Anchored in the Word. It's such a blessing to bring you this sound Bible teaching every day. It's our prayer that Anchored in the Word is being used by God to further the growth and discipleship you're already experiencing at your church. Perhaps you're listening today and you don't have a home church. The messages you hear from Pastor Bill here on Anchored in the Word are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. So, if today's message has blessed you and you don't have a home church, please join us for worship. For more information, log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to the church website. We encourage you to join us next time as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to www.anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through the book of Revelation.